Good afternoon, everyone. This is Pelchia. A very warm welcome to all of you for this Nucleus Software Earnings Conference Call for the quarter and 9 months ended on December 31st, 2024. For discussion, we hear from the management team, Mr. Vishnu R. Dusad, our Managing Director, Mr. Parag Bhise, CEO and Executive Director, Mr. Surya Prakash Kanodia, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Ashish Khanna, Chief of Staff and Chief Marketing Officer, Mr. Mukesh Bangia, Vice President, Mr. Abhishek Pallav, Vice President, Ms. Swati Patwardhan, Chief Human Resource Officer, and Mr. Tapan Deshwal, Financial Controller. As you all are aware, Nucleus Software does not provide any first week revenue earning guidance. Anything which is said during this call which may reflect company's outlook for the future or which may be constructed as a forward-looking statement must be reviewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. An audio and the transcript of this call would be shortly available on the investor session of company's website www.nucleussoftware.com. With this, we are now ready to begin with the opening comments on the performance of the company, and post that we would be available for the questions and answers session. With this, I now pass it over to Mr. Vishnu. Over to you, sir.
A warm welcome to all of you to this conference call on our performance for the quarter 3 FY25. We are very happy to let you know that the quarter has been a reasonable quarter, and we are looking forward to more exciting news in coming quarters. With those words, I would hand it over to Parag.
Thank you, Mr. Vishnu, for opening this call. A warm welcome to everyone who has joined the call. I would like to reiterate that the initiative that we have been talking about in the past few quarters of Hoshin Kanri is continuing, and we are also starting to observe some initial benefits from the field from it. Some of our customers have also started to noticing it. So we are committed to this, and we expect that these kind of initiatives will give us a significant product gains in the quarters to come. Thank you so much. And I would hand over to Tapan now to give the financial update. Tapan, over to you.
Thanks, Tarzan, and good afternoon, everyone. As for revenue, our consolidated revenue for the quarter is at Rs. 205.7 crore against Rs. 202.2 crore quarter-on-quarter and Rs. 204.1 crore year-on-year. Overall revenue in foreign currency, including India rupees revenue, is US$24.4 million for the quarter against US$24.1 million quarter on quarter and US$25.1 million year on year. Product revenue for the quarter is at Rs. 174.8 crore against Rs. 171.4 crore quarter on quarter and Rs. 175.4 crore year on year. Revenue from project and services for the quarter is at Rs. 30.9 crore against Rs. 30.8 crore quarter-on-quarter and Rs. 28.8 crore year-on-year. As for expenses, cost of delivery including cost of product development for the quarter is 70.7% of revenue against 71.4% of revenue quarter-on-quarter and 61.8% of revenue year-on-year. In absolute terms, this is Rs. 145.5 crore against Rs. 144.4 crore quarter-on-quarter and Rs. 126.1 crore year-on-year. Marketing and sales expenses for the quarter is 5.6% of revenue against 4.5% of revenue quarter-on-quarter and 6% year-on-year. In absolute terms, this is Rs. 11.6 crore against Rs. 9.1 crore quarter-on-quarter and Rs. 12.3 crore year-on-year. G&A expenses for the quarter is 7.6% of revenue against 8.5% of revenue quarter-on-quarter and 8.9% year-on-year. In absolute terms, this is rupees 15.6 crore rupees against 17.2 crore quarter-on-quarter and rupees 18.2 crore year-on-year. EBITDA for the quarter is at rupees 33 crore against rupees 31.5 crore quarter-on-quarter and rupees 47.4 crore year-on-year. Other income from investments and deposit is at rupees 14.8 crore against rupees 18.5 crore quarter-on-quarter and rupees 11.8 crore year-on-year. Total other income for the quarter is rupees 15.6 crore against rupees 19 crore quarter-on-quarter and rupees 12 crore year-on-year. Total taxes are at rupees 10 crores against rupees 13.5 crore quarter-on-quarter and rupees 14.6 crore year-on-year. Net profit is at rupees 35 crore for the quarter against rupees 33.1 crore for the quarter end, and rupees 41.3 crore year-on-year. Other comprehensive income is at negative 1.7 crore for the quarter against negative 2.7 crore quarter-on-quarter and rupees 1.6 crore year-on-year. Total comprehensive income, which includes net profit and other comprehensive income, is at rupees 33.3 crores for the quarter against rupees 30.4 crore quarter-on-quarter and rupees 42.9 crore year-on-year. EPS for the quarter is at rupees 13.28 as against rupees 12.35 quarter-on-quarter and rupees 15.43 year-on-year. In terms of foreign currency hedges on December 31st, we had USD 4.25 million of forward contract at an average rate of rupees 84.95. There is a mark-to-market loss of rupees 0.6 crore, which is equal to hedging reserve in the balance sheet. Revenue contribution from the top 5 clients for the quarter is 28.1% against 28.2% in the previous quarter. Total cash and cash equivalent as on December 31st are rupees 877.9 crore against rupees 895.1 crore as on September 30th. This includes balances in current accounts of rupees 33.6 crores, various schemes of mutual funds, rupees 613.8 crores, fixed deposit of rupees 196.4 crore, investments in tax-free bonds of rupees 34.1 crore. With regard to receivables, we are at rupees 109.6 crores against rupees 99.7 crore previous quarter. During the quarter, there is a gross addition of fixed assets of rupees 2.45 crores, consisting primarily of rupees 1.17 crore on computer and servers, 0.69 crore on software, 0.56 crore furniture and pictures, and 0.03 crores on office equipment. Now I hand it over to Poonam.
Thank you, Tapan. So, Pelshia, you can take the question and answer session.
Thank you, ma'am. With this, we are now open for the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star and 1 again. I repeat, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. First question comes from Vaibhav Bachaya from Honesty and Integrity Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Sorry, I missed the order book number, if you can repeat that. And secondly, the number of employees for September 24 quarter end and December 24 quarter end. That's it from my side.
Yeah. So this is Surya here. Thanks for your question. So the order book that we have to be executed in the remaining part of the tenure is in the north of 700 crores. So that is in the order book side. And in terms of the employee size, by end of September, it was around 1938, which was reduced to 1903 by December end.
Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Sanjay K, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening, sir. I just want to know how many new customers have added in last quarter, and how the traction looks like. I do not want guidance or number, but how the traction looks like for the Q4 and going forward.
Hi, Ashish this side. Thank you for the question. Sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Right. So lot of traction when it comes to upcoming banks and NBFC in terms of digital transformation. We are getting a lot of traction, not just in India, but in different countries, including Southeast Asia, Middle East, Australia. We are in kind of a close coordination with all these stakeholders in different institutes, and we are very optimistic about some good number closure by end of this financial year. So we are very optimistic, and I think the new tech stack is coming out well, and we are getting a very positive feedback from the customers who are using it and getting a value out of it.
Sure. How about the new customer added in this last quarter?
So as of now, since this sales cycle, is a bit longer, so we are still in kind of a closer stage. So I won't be able to comment on that number right now. So we are still kind of in a very closer stage. So to answer that, I think a lot of good traction, but our sales cycle is a little bit longer as compared to previous years. So I think it is taking a little time, but I think we are in a good shape.
All right. Yeah. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Grishma Shah from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving an opportunity. I want to understand across our three products, if you could give some color as to how the growth has been over 9 months and how is the order book breakup between these three products.
You'll need to repeat. We could not hear the question clearly.
Yeah, sir, I am keen to understand how the three products have fared on a 9-month basis for us and what does it look like in terms of our order book going ahead.
So I think if I understood your question correctly, you want to understand how was the 9 months, right, for us in terms of the product business, right, on both the lines, mm-hmm. New and Finexia. So I think, as I mentioned, I think it's been a very a good and a positive financial year for us till now. And lot of our products are, customers, existing customer appreciated the new features and new products offering which Nucleus is bringing on table, especially with respect to the value, we are adding in improving the efficiency at the bank front or NBFC front, and also helping them in an agile way to offer new financial product to the market. So I think we are getting a good traction. Similarly, for the new customers, with our lot of participation now in lot of different industry events, we are getting queries from different players in different geographies, where we are also very optimistic. Some of them are good big player who want to transform from their legacy system. So we are very hopeful about the time which is ahead of us in terms of transformation.
Okay. So I believe that we have taken a substantial price increase in one of our key products, and we were waiting for their acceptance of the customers and over the last 3 to 4 quarters. And now, while I understand that there has been a good response, is there a roadmap to which you can say that over the next 2 to 3 quarters, we will start seeing growth in our yearly, numbers for the product, or it is still some time given the longer product, longer conversion cycle from the customer?
Yeah, this is Vishnu here. As we have been maintaining all these years, we do not give any guidance as such, but at the same time, we remain highly optimistic about our future.
I get that, but is there an acceptance even in the top 5% of our customers in terms of our price increase? What's the color on that? If you could give us some sense on that.
Sorry, you'll have to repeat. What did you want to know about price increase?
Sir, we had taken a price increase in our key product, right, which was Singhan. How is that acceptance? I mean, what percentage of our customers are accepted or converted to the new platform? If you could give some color on that.
Okay, as far as that is concerned, we had price increase on our existing platform because, as we have been mentioning, it was the prices were ultra deep discounted. And our customers have been, understanding enough to realize this point. And they continue to look forward to, implementing our new solutions as well. Some of them are getting implemented already, and the others we are confident would like to implement and derive benefits out of the new products.
Okay. Because the BFSI product space across various companies is seeing a phenomenal growth in the current environment. So I'm just trying to calibrate that maybe next year is when, a larger percentage of our customers have accepted the new product and we would start seeing growth. Is that a fair assumption?
Yeah, it's a fair assumption.
Okay. And in terms of order book, this is executable over what time frame?
I think over next 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, different phases are there for different customers, but on an average, you can assume around 3 to 5 years.
3 to 5 years. Okay. And the initiative that you have been talking in your opening remarks, what is it pertaining to and what are the numerical benefits that we would, derive out of this?
Yeah, thank you for that question. Very important. So we have updated in the past. Essentially, the organization has adopted lean journey in a way. Lean is a concept you would all know from manufacturing. It was initiated by Toyota, then was adopted in various manufacturing units, and now service companies are also adopting it. So we have also adopted this concept. It's a change management process. We look at essentially anything and everything in the company, whether it is engineering, whether it is implementations, whether it is HR processes, sales processes, and look for improvements in that. For the current year going, we had prioritized 5 to 6 initiatives, which are primarily customer focused, in terms of improved SLAs, improved turnaround times. So those kinds of initiatives, and on which we've started to see now some benefits. Essentially, these are in terms of productivity improvements, reductions of wastages, etc.
So will that lead to improvement in our operating margins or gross margins or reduction in headcount? How do you quantify that?
Okay, so reduction in headcount is something which we definitely not looking at, but definitely using the same headcount to do more and more work. Now it's too early to say when I said that we are getting some feelers that our customers are appreciating it. It is more in terms of turnaround time and in SLAs, whether it is for deliveries or for fixes. Now, for this to convert into financial numbers, I think is still some time away. But ultimately, yes, that is what we are expecting in due course of time.
Is it like 2 years hence, 3 years hence? What is the goalpost?
It will be difficult to say it in that terms, but I'm sure, yeah, 3 years is a reasonable time, but how much we can't quantify right now. But we are all very excited about the results that we are seeing on some of our engineering and process improvements.
Okay, fine. Thank you and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Vinay Natkarani from Adway Investments Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Just wanted to check out for the last time when you had increased the sales, it was in March 2023. Since then, your sales have been more or less the same between 200 to 205 crores every quarter. But your employee expenses have continued. Are you looking at newer areas of development which can help you garner more revenues in future, or how is this employee expenses rising so much when your sales are stagnant?
Thanks for this very meaningful question. The way I would like to respond, this is Vishnu, the way I would like to respond to this is two ways. One, our customers, as we have mentioned earlier, our customers are taking longer time to take their decisions, and that is how the top line has remained static for almost 8 quarters. And the other aspect I would like to talk about is the employee expenses. We are confident, we are more than confident that our customers, prospective customers and existing customers start taking decisions, we will be able to leverage all the strength that we have in terms of our human capital, and the investment that is going in would be more than paid off. So that's how I would like to respond to this.
Yeah, but are you looking at expanding your product base to add new products, or are you looking at only one range of products that you are working on, or any new sectors that you are wanting to add?
No, as of now, we will continue to focus on these two sectors, that is transaction banking and lending. However, areas like AI are something where substantial part of our existing human capital would start getting deployed in months and quarters to come.
Okay. Thanks a lot. I'll join the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Jyoti Singh from Aryan Capital Markets Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So I just wanted to understand on the customer decision side, like you mentioned, customer is taking more time than expected. So what kind of feedback now we are getting if we have done, with the sales team, if we had a discussion? So what kind of feedback we are getting when a customer will going to start taking decision faster, like now most of the things that was expected already happen on the macro side? So what's your feedback on that side?
The sense we get is that our customers want to be very cautious about the solutions that they are choosing, and hence their selection cycles have moved from typical 6 months to a year, sometimes 2 years, and so on. And that is about the only sustained feedback that is coming.
I just wanted to add another aspect that what we are observing is even for such decisions, now even boards are getting involved, which is something which we had not experienced in the past. So that is one where all financial institutions now have IT steering committees there to make presentations. So that has kind of added to the cycle. That is one, I think, another observation.
Thank you, sir. And also, sir, on the guidance side, as you mentioned, you are being optimistic. But if you can give us some idea, what kind of visibility we are seeing for the company?
No, I don't think we want to talk about any numbers because it is what is in our policy and we would like to stick to that policy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question comes from Samar Singh from TPF Capital. Please go ahead. They've withdrawn his question. Next question comes from Rahul Jain from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I hope my line is audible.
Yes, sir. Rahul. Thanks for joining in.
Yes. Yeah. Hi. Vishnuji, I have a couple of questions. Firstly, just to try to understand the environment and situation slightly better. We've been seeing some challenges in terms of adding new customer decision making and all is what you've been highlighting for some time. And recently we also did some leadership addition in the Southeast Asia and ENZ market. So were these replacement and that's why we had a period where we didn't have this kind of a leadership, or this is more like strengthening manpower or from a sales point of view that has happened with the induction of these two gentlemen in Southeast Asia and ANZ?
Yeah, clearly both these were replacement. We did not have these positions filled for some time, and that's what we've done. And we have a couple of more senior positions that we are in the process of filling in.
Right. So in a way, is it safer to assume that A, the market is also not great, and plus we had this kind of a gaps in the key roles, which also could have caused some opportunity misplacement?
That's a very meaningful assumption to make.
Right. Also, since this situation may be evolving in a slow and steady manner, is there a change in stance we would like to do on our S&M side of the spends, because that number has scaled up quite materially while in the interim we have not seen any progress on the revenue side. So, or you think the need of the investment would mean that number would remain healthy while revenue may lag here?
We strongly believe that our story has not been told at all. We have not to use a phrase, we have not gone to rooftop and shouted about our achievements. So we will need to continue to talk about our achievements whenever we start talking about them. Only question we hear is where were you? Those are the kind of remarks that we hear. So we will continue to focus on marketing and letting the audiences know, the relevant audiences know what is it that they can get from us. And post that, I'm sure we'll generate the returns on the investment.
Right. And in terms of EBITDA margin, and of course, as you said, investment might continue. But if you look at our profitability for 9 months, it has now reached little over 15% mark, which is something we used to do in the previous decade as an average, but we had a lot of plus and minus in this last couple of years where we saw a lot of movement. So you think this 15% our long-term profitability is the right benchmark for us for the next couple of years, or you think this is an over-investment and a weak year and our operating level of profitability is much better than this number?
We would want to move to profitability much better than this number. How soon that happens is that remains to be seen. But clearly, this is not our benchmark. Benchmark would be much higher.
Yeah. So my question was more in terms of as a leader, as a business leader, when you don't see growth, would you go towards optimizing profitability for that period to ensure a base minimum level of profitability, or you would see that in the interim it could go to even a lower number than this and then it might pick up when we see a growth traction?
Okay, the way we would respond to that is we do not expect anything of that sort to happen. But if required for a quarter or two, even if it goes below this, we would allow that to happen. But continue to focus on the investments that we make for the long-term value that our customers expect from us. So we are making substantial investments in areas like AI and our solutions have now in some manner started delivering value to some of our customers using AI. So we would want to rather accelerate that in months and quarters to come.
Sure. And just last one bit, which is more of bookkeeping. I think there was this mention of 700 crore order book number. It would be great if you could give the breakup in terms of product and services here.
Yeah, so most of it is in product. Almost like more than 90% would be in the product territory. The balance is for the services.
You said 90 or 95, sorry?
90. 90 plus will be on the product side. The balance should be on the services.
Okay, thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Question comes from Samar Singh from TPF Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. We recently announced a new Finaxia deal. I just wanted to know how many customers we have for Finaxia post this deal announcement.
So I think you're talking about, so Ashish, you said you're talking about Federal Bank going live, am I right?
Right.
So yeah, I think we get this deal a few months back. We are, we replace one of the solution which was not giving them, value enough for their corporate customers. So they have gone live absolutely on time, and I think that's what jointly both Federal Bank and Nucleus done a press release about that win or achievement in terms of going live. And so we are growing very strong with them. And similarly, there are a couple of more deals when it comes to Transaction Monkey product, which is Finaxia, which we are pursuing with some of the big banks. So we are definitely seeing a lot of tractions on that particular product. And definitely Federal Bank, achievement, on-time delivery and quality delivery will also help us to get those deals faster. So that's what we are, kind of anticipating at this stage.
Right. I think historically we focused a lot on FinOneNeo and, Finaxia, at least for the last couple of quarters, hasn't really come up, at least in the call. So I was just curious to know if you could, I think our Finaxia, number of Finaxia customers we have are far fewer than the FinOneNeo customers. So if you could talk about why that is, why Finaxia has not been able to scale up and why we have not been able to cross-sell to our FinOneNeo customers. And do you see any changes happening in that in the near future?
Right. So maybe, let me talk about a product a little bit. So Finaxia is a very different product which dealt with the corporate customers, and mostly big banks and institutions require this kind of a product. And today, if I talk about, I'm not talking about the number of customers, but if I talk about the kind of a transactions it is handling. So we are handling more than $15 trillion worth of transactions a year from through this platform. So which also talk about a size of, you know, the kind of a volume this platform is handling today. And we are operating with this platform in 20 countries as of now, right? And I think we, with more digital journeys, digital payments coming into the, you know, ecosystem, not just in India, but across, I think we are seeing ourselves very well placed, you know, in picking up those deals and in bringing those, you know, efficiencies or enablement system to the banks and institution so that they can kind of process those kind of volumes and heavy payments with a robust solution. So I won't compare it with the number of logos from Finven Neo because it's a different product. But in terms of value, I think we are seeing a lot of traction, a lot of value. And we are hopeful that with more focus on the digital payments, we will be able to, you know, make more reach of this product to different financial institutions.
Just want a clarification. I mean, this product is not a new product, right? It's been there with us for a long time. I'm just wondering if something has changed either in the product or in our marketing that we expect now to, you know, for the product to do better going ahead.
So changes are on both sides. I mean, one, we have also re-architect our product. So it is now API first strategy in the technical architecture front. So, you know, so product architecture definitely got enhanced with a lot of new features and new functionalities, stitched around an API driven architecture. Second, I think the market, as I mentioned about the market also, you know, is showing a lot of responsiveness when it comes to digital payments, with a direct focus from a lot of governments of different countries. So we are also cross-border payments. So we see a lot of traction from both the sides. One, we have also changed ourselves from a product standpoint. And second, market is also becoming more responsive, more open to such kind of a transitional, you know, transformational projects or products.
Got you. Okay. And just a question on our profitability. You know, it seems like the domestic business has the more steady profitability. In terms of the bottom line, there's slight fluctuation, but more or less stable. While all the other geographies seem to have a lot of volatility in terms of profit. Sometimes, you know, a large profit number swings to you know, sometimes negative. So could I get just help us understand why that happens, and did we see any of the other geographies becoming more stable like our domestic business?
Yeah, as you understand from our response to the previous question, we did have challenge in terms of sales and account management bandwidth for some time, and that is what has resulted in uneven profitability in some of the geographies. But going forward, we are confident that we'll be able to maintain and further grow the profitability.
But Vishnu, just to push back on that, this is not a recent phenomenon, right? The swings in profitability have been around for, you know, many years now in the non-domestic business. So, I mean, is it more that, is it more implementation revenue in those geographies and less of sort of AMC and, you know, AMC revenue? Is that why these swings happen?
No, it varies from geography to geography.
Dear participants, kindly stay connected while we connect the management team back on the call. Dear participants, kindly stay connected while we connect the management team back on the call. I welcome back the management team. Please go ahead, sir.
I'm not too sure till what time do you hear us.
So you were just answering the question. The question was that the volatility in the other geographies in terms of profits have been around. I mean, that's not a recent phenomenon. That's been going on for some time now, and so I was hoping to get some more clarity on that.
Yeah. So as I was explaining, we've been having implementations in certain geographies, and that is the time you know, the profitability may, revenue may go up, profitability may come down, and the other geography that some other point of time where AMC revenue would be there, and that's where the profitability is higher. So this has been the case. However, going forward, we are confident that we'll be having steady profitability in all the geographies, which would keep growing.
Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Sanjay K, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have two questions. Recently, company has participated in this exhibition where they demonstrated vehicle finance product at AFSA in US, I think, on that. So is this a new product? And how was the response to this product demonstration? That's the first question. And second question is about generally, Q4 generally better compared to Q3 for the product companies. So are we seeing the same thing happening here, or just better, or you can just give that idea?
Okay. Hi, Ashish this side. So let me attempt answering the first one. So AFSA event, so one of the major product for line of business for us is the captive auto finance market. So we are already working with some of the big players in captive auto finance market in multiple countries. And we are trying to, you know, enter into North America as a region. And, you know, General Motor Finance, for instance, is our customer from last 25 years now. They are using our captive auto finance product, which is an offshoot of Neo or Finman product. And they have been using this product from last 25 years in multiple countries. They have implemented it across, part of Europe, part of Latin America. And we are in talks with multiple players in North America right now in the captive auto finance area to enable them with our product. So that's the reason, you know, why we are also focusing on North America in terms of participating in industry events and sharing our perspective, sharing our thought leadership in lending space, and especially in captive auto finance space. So that's the reason. So there are a lot of tractions, and it's just a very good industry connect. So we are hopeful of, you know, doing business in North America. Sorry, can you repeat the second question?
Second question is generally all these product companies have Q4 generally better than Q3. So I just want to check whether it's at least the same thing will be happening for this new place, or it's going to be different.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you for the question. I think, Mr. Vishnu mentioned, we are very optimistic, but at the same time, we don't give guidance. That's not part of the policy, and we want to stick to that policy. So, but yeah, we are very positive. We are very optimistic as an organization.
Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Arthik Bora, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yeah, you are.
Okay. First of all, I think it's commendable that you continue to, you know, focus on spending for growth rather than prioritizing profit, prioritizing profitability for the moment, and that's good for long-term wealth creation. If I look at the segmental numbers, the geographical breakup that you provide, my assessment is that the incremental costs are being spent for Indian geography. Is that correct to surmise from the segmental numbers?
So can you repeat the last part of the question?
If you look at the segment geographical breakup, if you subtract the revenue minus the segmental profit, it looks like India geography has seen majority of these incremental cost increase that we have seen in the last three quarters. So is it correct to assume that large part of this growth-oriented cost is incurred for India?
No, so, I would like to kind of clarify on this. See, there is the cost increment is happening in India, but the efforts are going for overall growth, the overall growth. So obviously the activities are happening for growth in India, and therefore you are seeing the expenses in India. But so far as the growth and the efforts are concerned, it is for throughout the world, not only limited to India.
Okay, understood. And sorry, you might have given this clarification. Is there a broad split you are providing? How much of this cost is being spent on sales and marketing, and how much of it is on further product development and improvement?
Yeah, so the breakup of that would be available as part of our results. And Tappan at the beginning of the call also mentioned about the individual component of the cost.
Okay. All right. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Vaibhav Bachaya from Honesty and Integrity Investment. Please go ahead.
My question has been answered, so that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. I repeat, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Follow-up question from Vinay Nadkarni from Athway Investments Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just wanted a breakup of revenue between license, implementation, and AMC, if you can provide us.
So the line is a little bit disturbed, so you will have to repeat the question.
Yeah, sorry. Can you hear me now?
It is better.
Yeah. Can you give us a breakup of how much of from licenses, how much from implementation?
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. Your voice is not clear, sir. So, Vinay?
So, if we understand your question well, I think you are asking for a breakup between license and implementation in terms of revenue. Am I right?
So there is no response, sir.
Sure. Okay. No worries.
Next question comes from Lakshay Agarwal from Growth Venture. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thanks for taking my question. So you had earlier mentioned that you're exploring the new product offerings, particularly in AI and investing efforts over there. So I just wanted to understand that what exactly would you be developing using this? And how would it impact?
So, hi, I'm Abhishek Pallab. The idea is to generate data-driven insights and hyper-personalized in this era, and there are use cases in each part of if you look at it, the way transactions are happening, security or the follow-ups that agents are doing. So I'll not be talking about use cases, but there are a plethora of use cases that we are working upon, the plethora of business problems. So the idea is to enhance the customer efficiency and agents' efficiencies and enable customers and decision makers to take right decisions and instantly, as well as with lots of information that that can help them to look at the way the decisions are being made are in the right direction, number one. Number two is right prospect, and certain times there are cases wherein when to follow up, what is the right time to follow up. There are hyper-personalization to data-driven insights and a segment-based cross-sell, upsell. There are so many use cases that we are working upon. We are also using capabilities from large NOM models, language models, to convolutional models, deep model network, deep neural networks, etc. So any specific area that you're looking for? Or
Actually, I just wanted to understand that is any of these segments implemented right now in our product, or we are working towards it yet?
No, our product offering has this.
So we have AI enabled in our product from almost more than 3-4 years now. So as Abhishek mentioned, so our transaction banking product Finexia is already enabled with an AI fraud detection module, which helps to detect the fraud in the transactions. Similarly, we have multiple use cases, as Abhishek mentioned, in the entire life cycle for lending product, lending enterprise product, including the origination, servicing and collection module. So there are a couple of use cases which are already kind of explored live in the system, and some we are developing.
Okay, understood. And while implementing all of these solutions, is it possible that we are able to charge a premium from our customers due to this?
Absolutely. It's not about charging a premium, but I think we believe in a lot of value creation when it comes to customers as a partner, right? So I think a lot of use cases are adding on the customer side in the operational efficiency for their business, or enable the next set of customers or unlock a next set of customers for them, or create a new set of financial products for their end customers. So I think we are seeing a lot of value, and that value creation comes definitely as part of our pricing strategy. So we don't call it out as a separate premium pricing product at this stage, but maybe we are not sure how this will unfold or unwrap in the future. So as of now, it bundles up within the product offering.
And
thank you.
The idea is to increase the efficiency and help customer see insights from the data they already have, and take great decisions for the business. Yeah.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now I pass it over to Mr. Vishnu for his closing comments.
Thank you very much for your continued interest in Nucleus Software, and I would like to reiterate our commitment to long-term value addition to all our stakeholders. Thank you very much once again for your interest.
Thank you.
That concludes our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect now.